This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 382 and a quarter, down one. May corn, 388, down three quarters. July corn, 395 and three quarters, down a half. March soybeans, 980, down eight and a quarter. May soybeans, 984 and a half, down eight and three quarters. July soybeans, 989 and a quarter, down nine and a quarter. March wheat, 496 and a half, up two and a quarter. May wheat, 493 and a quarter, up three and a quarter. July wheat, 497, up two and three quarters. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Country Grain prices ended higher on Monday afternoon in anticipation of Tuesday's USDA report. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all closed higher. And in northern and western Illinois, Country Grain News quoted shell corn bids 3 cents higher at 360 to 382. Soybean bids were up 6 to 10 cents at 957 to 975. In central Illinois, Country Grain News quoted shell corn bids mostly 2 to 3 higher at 350 to 381. Soybean bids were 8 cents higher at 966 to 994. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 3 to 4 cents at 365 to 385. Soybean bids gained 6 to 10 cents at 971 to 996. And wheat bids 4 to 7 higher at 403 to 472. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 8 to 9 cents higher at 996 to 1008, with basis steady to a penny higher, range group 3 to 15 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $365.90 to $373.90 per ton. That's up $5.90 to $6.90, with basis steady to a dollar lower at 22 to 30 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 3 cents higher at 386 to 392, with basis steady range from 3 under to 3 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at 387 to 389, with basis also ended mixed on Monday, range from 2 under to option May. Soybeans ended up 8 to 9 cents at 990 to 997, with basis steady to a penny higher at 3 under to 4 over the May. And new crop wheat prices ended 8 cents higher for the day at 474 to 488, with basis steady ranging from 20 under to 6 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 5 higher at 406 to 407. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 9 cents with quotations at 1017 to 1018. Soft wheat up 7 at $4.90 to $5, and the Milo ended 2 to 3 higher for the day at $4.63 to $4.64. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.69 to $3.87. New crop soybean bids at $9.10 up to $9.42. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.69 to $3.83. New crop soybean bids at 928 to 947. And in the southern part of the state on Monday, new crop corn bids range from 372 to 383. New crop soybean bids at 915 up to 942. And wheat bids for June, July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 455 up to 482. That completes our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 154.75, up 75 cents. June live cattle, 146.25, up 10 cents. August live cattle, 144.07, down 50 cents. March feeder cattle, 212.22, up $2.52. April feeder cattle, 210.50, up $2.10. May feeder cattle, 208.35, up $1.27. April lean hogs, 65.97, down 10 cents. May lean hogs, 75.80, down 77 cents. June lean hogs, 78.67, down 62 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 10th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 7 cents lower in the range of 54 to 64, with a weighted average carcass price of 62.56. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 27 to 31, 4 to 5 weights 28 to 34, 5 to 6 weights 29 to 36, and 6 weights and up 33 to 38. On the Illinois Direct Sow, on the Direct Hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading mostly steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $40 to $47. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 27,351 head. And from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 392 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 68.63, which was 12 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $247.79, that was 20 cents higher, with select carcasses at $245.12, that was 63 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 109,000, that compared to 109,000 last week and 117,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 433,000, that compared to 435,000 last week and 412,000 a year ago. Now for the opening report from the United Producers at Shelbyville, they had estimated receipts of 322 head. Steers and heifers were $1 to $1.50 higher. Holstein steers were $2 to $2.50 higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were ranged from $159 to $166. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, $150.50 to $157.50. The choice slaughter heifers, $158 to $164.50. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear from a market analyst for insights in this week's grain and livestock markets. That's coming up after this. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, the USDA crop report is first on the agenda of most traders taking a look at it. Overall, the trade is expecting, I think they're focused most on the South American numbers. We saw this morning where CONAB, which is Brazil's equivalent to our USDA, reduced the size of the soybean crop that they're producing. And I think that's generally the trend that trade is anticipating, a reduction in Brazil's crops, corn and soybeans, with an increase in Argentina's offsetting that. We've seen overall this reduction because of the dryness that was seen in Brazil during the month of January, with heat and dryness, particularly in central in northwestern areas. Now those areas are excessively wet and slowing the harvest and the safrinha corn planting, whereas in Argentina they've been having good rains throughout the season, and even in about 20-25% of the area maybe excessive rains. But overall, I think the trade is just simply looking for USDA to confirm big crops in South America.
So with the big crops expected out of South America, would a delayed safrinha planting have much of an impact on the markets?
Well, initially it looked like we were going to see some significant reductions in corn production. The safrinha corn crop accounts for about 60% of Brazil's production, and it accounts for the bulk of the exportable supplies that compete with our corn exports. And at one point it looked like the delays are going to be significant enough when you compare them to other years that had similar delays and a similar weather pattern that we would see reduced production because the crop planted late wouldn't make a yield before the dry season starts in April, and reduced acres, that we could see exportable supplies down by about 160 to 200 million bushels, translating into increased U.S. exports. However, as we turned the calendar into March, in that week of March, we saw a lot more planting get accomplished than expected. So now I think we're probably looking at reductions somewhere in the 80 to 100 million bushel level, and some estimates are still that production will be able to exceed those levels. So I think the impact on the markets will be quite a bit less now than what we initially thought.
And stateside, it is warming up. The snow is melting. Today it is raining in our listening area. And farmers are already getting anxious to get out into the fields. I've heard some saying that they're optimistic that if it dries up in about 2 weeks, they could get out in the field.
Well, optimism runs high this time of year. And certainly we've had a couple mornings now where most of the Midwest was above freezing, which is a far contrast to where the Midwest has been for much of the past couple of months with a very harsh winter. And after a harsh winter, the itch to get out in the field is certainly greater than what you would normally see. But as we look at the longer-term forecast, it looks like we could see cold weather returning once again toward the end of the month, returning us back toward below to much below normal temperatures once again and cooling that enthusiasm. We've actually been seeing some corn planting take place in areas of the south. 6% of Texas corn crop is planted. Areas of the delta and to the areas of east of that have almost been too wet, excessively wet in some cases, making it difficult to get much field work done. So overall, we're seeing a delay of corn planting across much of the south. I know farmers in the Midwest are anxious to get this growing season underway. And overall, as you look at the long-term forecast, it looks like it's going to overall, with some cycle changes like what we're seeing now, some nicer weather, overall it looks like it's going to be a cold, dry start to the spring. Then April will turn cool and probably wet, keeping us out of the field. But at this point, it looks like we're going to see things warm up and dry out in the month of May and enable us to get the work done.
And of course, with it warming up and drying out, pretty soon we'll be able to hear how the wheat crop survived through the winter.
Absolutely. And through the winter, we've seen monthly crop condition ratings for much of the winter wheat crop from the individual states. And we started off with a pretty rough rating for Illinois, and then it kind of improved as we went through the winter, although still has a lot of concerns. As we look at the Plain states, they have now started, most states have started to do a weekly update and getting those condition ratings out on Monday afternoon. We see that while most of them are looking at 45 to 50% of the crop rated good to excellent, we'd like to see that number in the 60s, so it's not desirable. But overall, crop ratings have been stable to maybe a little bit better than the previous week. Suggesting that this crop is stabilizing and with a good spring weather, perhaps we can still get some good yields.
Suderman also gave an overview of the livestock markets this week.
It's been a roller coaster ride once again in the livestock markets, particularly when we look at the cattle market. We saw much stronger cash action in the Plain states on Friday afternoon late, with cattle trading up to $3 above the previous week's level, up to 162 per hundredweight on a live basis, 259 on a dress basis, with some better movement than anticipated as well. And that suggests that the packers simply don't have control of enough cattle to meet the demand that is out there and needed to pay up for those cattle. And number slaughter numbers are expected to be tight yet for several more weeks, perhaps into the month of May, even as we get into barbecue season and demand starts to rise once again. Yet, we're seeing strong imports meeting some of that need. Some of the data coming out of USDA showing a big surge in imports in the month of January, helping to meet that domestic need at a time when our prices are high and our supplies are tight. And so the packers have been generally able to manage the supply and demand and keep us from going back up and revisiting the record highs we saw back in November. And when you look at the product prices here in the United States for boxed beef, they're really having trouble competing with cheaper pork supplies at the retail level. If you go to a grocery store, it wouldn't be unusual maybe to see the pork supplies sell out quicker than the beef because of the price differences, and pork certainly having an advantage. overall, when you look at the pork complex, we see those pork supplies continue to increase. We're producing about 3% more pork year to date compared to year ago levels, and that's supplying the demand that's out there. I've actually been relatively pleased with the demand that we've seen both domestically and on the export front, but the supply has simply been exceeding that. We saw some improvement in cash prices for about a 10-day period in the eastern Midwest and the east because of adverse weather keeping the hogs from town. But now as the weather warms up, the roads clear, and those hogs start coming to town, we're seeing the cash market start to soften once again.
Now, since the hog herd had to rebuild a little bit after the PED virus, are we seeing a leveling off of that rebuilding of the growing numbers, or should we expect to see more growing numbers? Because we're meeting the supply already with the pigs we have since they were at increased weight. I'm curious to see if we should be expecting a larger hog herd yet, or if that'll be plateauing.
That's the big question in front of the industry, with USDA weighing in with their quarterly hogs and pigs report on March the 27th. And I think the general expectation, which continues to weigh on the market and prevent us from having a seasonal rally to this point of significance, is the expectation that with corn prices cheapening, that we're continuing to see expansion in the hog herd, in the breeding herd, and the industry and its efficiencies tends to overproduce when given the opportunity to do so. And I think that's the fear right now, is that we're continuing to expand the breeding herd, that we haven't encountered enough pain in the industry to really slow down that expansion by some of our larger operations, and that the numbers are continuing to go up. But that March 27th USDA quarterly hogs and pigs report will be pivotal for the market, I think, as we go through the second quarter.
And you said the livestock markets have been on a roller coaster ride, and that seems to be now the typical news of the cattle markets. Can we expect that to level off when the cattle herd gets rebuilt?
Now, there's a tremendous amount of frustration in the cattle industry with the lack of function in the live cattle futures contracts. Right now, we're basically trading $8, $9 below where the cash market is trading. You look at the deferred contracts, they're constantly at a big discount to where the cash market is, expecting lower prices. And it's becoming a very difficult tool to use from a risk management standpoint. A lot of frustration. We've lost a lot of open interest in volume. And a lot of cattlemen, the cattle feeders, in that frustration have simply gone to given in and started contracting cattle to the packers. And the more the packers gain control through contracting, the less they have to compete in the negotiated market. And it seems to perpetuate those lower prices. So it's been a big frustration for the cattle industry. There is some hope within the industry as we start to rebuild the herd, start rebuilding the numbers, bring the prices down to compensate as well, that perhaps we'll start bringing volume back to the market and start getting it functioning once again. But there's also a fear that perhaps the damage has been done and we're going to have to see some significant restructuring of the way the futures markets operate in order for them to be a viable risk management tool that is something that our feeders can really put their trust into once again.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.